Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
92.9 The Game.
Back with you here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, hour number two of the program. Big thanks to our buddy D. Orlando Ledbetter for hopping on the show and breaking down the Falcons draft. He thinks it will be Leiatu Latu. Carl Duke.
Leiatu Latu.
Oh, D, we love you. Oh, we love you. Leiatu Latu. We're going to make sure we bring that back for Carl and Mike tomorrow. Because we know we'll have some fun with that. But again, thanks to T for hopping on the show. Warren, you can't just drop that on me like that, man. You can't just drop that on me like that. All right, 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929 is the phone number to get involved. What is the question we are asking you tonight? It is very simple. Where is your confidence level at? We are officially 24 hours away from the 2024 NFL draft getting underway. Our coverage starts at 7:30 with Mike Conti and Wes and Dave. And then we'll be going strong till 2 a.m. with your calls as well at 404-726-0929. And don't miss coverage all weekend long. But right now, I'm talking to you. What do you think? Where is your confidence level at with this Atlanta Falcons team right now? For Terry Fontenot, Raheem Morris, and the entire brass to get it right. The first batch of calls we took, it was, I would say, 75-25 guys that were in support of Raheem Morris and Terry Fontenot getting it done. So I'm interested to see as we continue here, I should say, to see how that shakes out. Because I think you have a right to question some of this stuff. I do. Because of where the team is and the decisions that the team has made coming into this season. It's not a guarantee or a fait accompli that this team gets it right. They've missed, man. They've missed in some pretty big ways. This team has needed defense like, you know, I need to lose a couple pounds. And we'll get to that in a second, by the way. Or not. I teased that before we went to break about I'm doing something I've never done before. And before we get to your calls at 404-726-0929, I'm going to tell you exactly what that is. But first, let's hear one more cut. I want you to hear from Sam Monson from Pro Football Focus. We're just giving you different perspectives of guys that have been on the radio station over the past week or so in terms of what they think the Falcons are going to do. And he broke down all the options at number eight.
Corner is an interesting spot, though, when you start talking about draft rankings, because it's going to be different depending on the team, depending on what defense you run, what your scheme is. I don't think, and this is true for a lot of positions, but corner maybe more than any other, I think you need to sort of quantify what the team is we're going to be talking about, because each team is going to have very different rankings. I really love Terrion Arnold from Alabama. I think he's got some of the most slick movement skills, man coverage ability, the capacity to mirror receivers of any corner to come along in years. I think his ability to do that is virtually unmatched, but teams that don't run man coverage a lot are not going to have Terrion Arnold necessarily at the top of their rankings, because other corners in this class, I think, are better in off coverage or better playing zone. But again, I feel like corner is a little bit like edge rusher in terms of a top tier and then a bit of a gap. Arnold would be one of them. I think Quinyon Mitchell from Toledo is definitely one of them as well. And then Nate Wiggins from Clemson would be the other guy I put into that list. I think all three of those guys are extremely good prospects and belong, you know, firmly at the top towards the top half of the first round.
Yeah, I just don't see the Falcons taking a cornerback at eight. I just think it's a reach. It's too big of a reach. It's already a reach if you're going to take a defensive end, but corner is even more of a reach than that. And there's, as D-Led talked about, there's four or five guys in this draft that would qualify as a quality selection even in the second round. All right, one more cut before we get to your calls at 404-726-0929, 404-726-0929. Again, the question is, how confident are you in Terry Fontenot and his staff to get it right this weekend in the NFL draft? Where are you at? How are you feeling? We're 24 hours away. Are you nervous? Are you saying, nah, he's got this, that we're going to get an A grade from all the pundits out there, the Daniel Jeremiahs of the world are going to give the Falcons an A grade? That's what I want to know from you. How are you feeling 24 hours before the draft? 404-726-0929. Next up, let's hear from our guy, Ian Valentino. He does great work for the 33rd team. D-Led doesn't think wide receiver is an option, even if Rome Odunze's there. But, heck, what does Ian Valentino think? Maybe?
Look, I think you can justify it. It sounds crazy, but I think you can actually justify it because that's – even with the guys that are on the roster, it's like it's a good offense, but, like, you could totally argue that a third receiver is needed. Look at Zach Robinson, the offensive coordinator that came in. The Rams played more three-receiver sets than any team in the NFL last year. So it's not like Rome Odunze is going to come in and not play, or he's going to displace somebody that's not going to play. Three receivers are going to be on the field a ton. And it's a good investment. And the question is, like, is his value that much higher of compared to Turner and Mitchell and Arnold, these other guys that are in the mix? And, like, yeah, I think you can kind of justify it. I would be a little bit questionable just because I think that edge position is so lacking beyond those guys, but especially the guys on the roster. But when you have a defensive head coach, especially one that's done a lot with a little, he's going to probably feel pretty confident that he can bring the best out of guys that he can take later. So I wouldn't walk away being upset. And worst case scenario is that, yeah, you hopefully have that elite offense for the next couple of years, and you have a ton of guys on cheap deals before things start to get, you know, a little bit tougher down the road.
Yeah, it's interesting because Ian there basically said the exact opposite of what D-Light said, and that the Falcons are just not going to do it, especially with Rome, because he is in a position where he is a similar skill set to Drake London, and that would be a redundancy that you don't want to make, much like if the Falcons were to pick Brock Bowers, you already have Kyle Pitts, and now you have too many gaping holes at corner, edge rush, safety, offensive line, all the positions that I just talked about with D. So that it's interesting to hear all these different perspectives about what the Falcons could do based upon where the analysts are coming from. So here we go, 404-726-0929. Where is your confidence level at? That's what I want to know. Do you think Terry Fontenot, Raheem Morris, everybody out there at Flowery Branch that's in the war room right now, not going to sleep tonight, do they get it right in the draft? Let's start with Mr. Jones. Go ahead.
What's up, what's up, what's up? The favorite hater from Atlanta back on the map. Yeah, I have zero confidence in Mr. Fontenot. I ain't got none. You know, I call him Terry Don't Fontenot. Terry don't know. He don't know. You know what I'm saying? Because nobody told him. Who told him to draft Desmond Ridder?
Hold on, Mr. Jones. Desmond Ridder was a third-round pick. He wasn't a first-round pick.
He shouldn't have drafted him at all.
But it would be a different story if Desmond Ridder was destined to be the next coming of Matt Ryan. He was drafted in the third round. It was a gamble, and it didn't work out.
But didn't you just say those are the picks that he needs to hit on, correct?
Yes.
So
yes.
As a guy like myself, I consider myself, because a lot of the picks, even him taking Cal Pitts at number 4 overall, made no sense. Y'all still doing the same thing. You're looking for pass rushers. You're looking for defense. You haven't had that in years, correct? So why? What from has he shown y'all lately? The best thing y'all have done lately was bring in Jesse Bates. That was the best thing y'all ever did in the last 4 or 5 years.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So back to the draft. I'm doing one or two things. Like I said, I'm usually don't draft back. But because y'all need so much, I'm going to try to make the deal with the Vikings or who else is behind y'all to come up, let's swap picks, get another second-round pick this year and one next year. Because, as you know, y'all don't need a quarterback right now. Like, let me ask you this. Why even waste the resources flying way over there to do a one-on-one with Michael Penix Jr. if they're not even really
Mr. Jones,
considering this?
Hey, man, I appreciate the phone call, and I appreciate the thoughts. Oren, we have personal intros on the show now, which I find.
He certainly is a hater.
Pretty funny. But, no, that was a good call, Mr. Jones. You know your stuff. Listen, here's the thing. I agree with you. I don't know if that's not been made abundantly clear on the quarterback thing anyway. The Falcons should be in no way, shape, or form even remotely considering taking a quarterback at number 8, at number 43, in the 4th round. I think 5th round is the earliest you consider taking a flyer. If you love your draft, if you are Terry Fontenot and you're like, hey, through the first 4 rounds, I give myself an A+. We got 3 new starters. I'm feeling great. And we're going to take a flyer on Jordan Travis in the 5th round. Okay. But if it's before that, man, no shot. I'm not doing it. As Mr. Jones said correctly, again, there are way too many needs. So, again, I'm not for moving back. You know where I'm at on that. Stay at 8, pick the best defensive end, and just roll. But if you're going to trade back, you're not taking a quarterback. 404-726-0929. Big O, can we hear from Charles Davis talking about the Miami Dolphins? This is cut number 10, because I think this is important when you're talking about how the Atlanta Falcons are going to build a defensive line.
I don't think this is a year where we're sitting there going, Von Miller's coming in, Miles Garrett's coming in, right? You see where I'm going with this?
Yep.
It's not that year. So, if it's not that year, who's the best of the best in this year for a screaming need that teams have? So, if your screaming need is Ed Rusher, I'm going to take it out of Atlanta's hands for a second, because we all know we've been talking about this since John Abraham left town.
Right.
Okay? Did Vic Beasley have one big year? He certainly did.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. I'm talking about a consistent, that's the guy you got to go block each week. To me, it's been since Abraham. Let's take it out of Falcons' hands. The Miami Dolphins last year, Jalen Phillips, Bradley Chubb, and Chubb played now like he played as a rookie. They had a big year as edge rushers. Oh, and by the way, they had this kid named Andrew Van Ginkel, hair flowing out of the back looking like Thor. Big year off the edge. As we start this season, Jalen Phillips is coming back from an Achilles, hurt against the Jets in midseason. Bradley Chubb blew his ACL, or blew his knee, with less than 2 minutes to go in week 18 at Baltimore.
Yeah, here's the thing, guys. You can't plan for stuff like that. Charles is absolutely right. The Miami Dolphins entered the season thinking that their defense was going to be one of the best in the league. And by the end of the season, it was absolutely ravaged by injuries, and they lost one of their best players for the season. So you think you know, but you have no idea how the season's going to play out in terms of health, in terms of draft picks, in terms of injury. So I thought that was a really astute observation there made by Charles Davis. As the Falcons look for their guy, even if they get their guy, that doesn't mean you're done. That doesn't mean that you don't take another shot later in the draft. You got major holes to fill. You could use, hell, I wouldn't be mad, Oren, if they took 3 pass rushers in this draft. Because you never know. Maybe only one of them hits. Maybe all 3 hits. And then in a year from now, you have one of the best defensive lines in the NFL. So good stuff from Charles Davis there. Again, if you're just tuning in, we are playing some cuts from guys we've had over the weeks on Dukes and Bell that I thought made really interesting points about the draft, and playing little snippets from them. Also coming up next hour, I want you to hear a little chunk from Greg Cosell, who was on with Andy and Randy earlier today, because I thought he had some really, really good observations about the draft as well. So I'll play that, and Oren and I will react. But coming up next, just a slight pivot from the draft, I promise, because I wanted to get Caleb Johnson on last week, but I didn't realize I texted him on his birthday. Whoops. Found out later. So I owe him an apology, which I'll do, and I know I teased it, but we ran out of time. I will let you know what I am doing for the first time in my life. I'll do that at the 840 segment because we're going to talk about it for just a second. I don't know if I can do it, but damn it, I'm going to try. 404-726-0929. We will get our exit interview with Caleb Johnson to put a bow on the Hawks season and see what their offseason is going to be like. Is Trey going to be here? We'll ask him next. I owe our next guest a sincere apology because the last time I texted him to come on to do what we're about to do now, which is a little postmortem on the Atlanta Hawks season and preview the offseason, because I've had him on all season, so we might as well put a bow on the damn thing. I didn't realize it was Caleb Johnson's birthday, and a milestone birthday at that. So as we head out to the WadeFord.com hotline and welcome in Caleb Johnson, Hawks reporter for the station, first of all, happy belated, Caleb. And second of all, this was a milestone one, huh? Dirty 30?
Yeah, man, it was. It was fun. I actually, when I hosted my show this weekend, you know, doing the Dopey Millennial show, I was like, can a 30-year-old still be a Dopey Millennial? I mean, I feel like I still am. But, yes, it was a big one. Although I didn't do anything like too wild or anything like that, just getting together with friends. But yeah, that's why I did have to bow out of us doing kind of this final wrap up thing because, yeah, you know, 30 doesn't come around just all the time.
Well, listen, don't live with any regrets, Caleb. That's the only advice I can give you. If you want to do something, do it, darn it. All right. One thing the Atlanta Hawks didn't do is make the playoffs. We all know that. But I want to start with the exit interviews because that was a little bit of spicy from Trey Young. Read between the lines of what he said or what he didn't say, saying he wants to be here, but he wants to win. What did you make from those comments?
Yeah, it's funny. You know, I've kind of gone back and forth about this just based on how I took it standing there in front of Trey. And then I had my buddy Brad Rowland on my show this past weekend talking about it. And it was interesting to see how a fellow journalist who was standing right next to me when Trey was talking to us, how he kind of perceived it. I take it in a very direct way, which is I have said this all season long. Anytime you or Abe or anyone else has asked me about Trey Young, I think Trey wants to be in Atlanta. However, I take him for what he said in that he wants to win. I think that was a shot across the bow, a direct line message to Landry Fields of saying, Landry, put a winning team here in Atlanta or I'm out. Now, I don't know how soon that or I'm out would come. Is that a, you know, here in this off season that if he doesn't see some pieces being added or subtracted particularly, then he would be out? Or is that, you know, at next year's trade deadline or at the end of next year's season? It feels like for a guy who has devoted 6 years of his life for him to say, hey, I want to be winning, should, you know, like, I think we should all take him at a level of that's fair. Like, that's a fair feeling to be at. I also, Chris, I found it very interesting that he took a question that really didn't have anything to do with this particular answer. And Trey took a question about what would you tell a Hawks, you know, someone who is looking into coming to Atlanta about the team or about the city. And he went, you know, one thing that I've never been about is being the number one option, the best player on the team. Like, I don't have to be that person. And I was like, huh, that is very interesting that you chose that question and took it a completely different direction as if to say, hey, you know, whoever the front office wants to add in the off season, you know, it can be someone who is going to be more of a focal point of you know, maybe the offense and just the team in general, because why is Trey Young a star and why is he the face of the franchise? Well, because there was absolutely nothing better here when he joined the team and he took over those reins. Can you, you know, do all of the things of like win a championship and everything like that with him? I feel like we've kind of seen that maybe that is not the most likely option. And so for him to throw that out after year six It either tells you that he wants them to do that in Atlanta, or that he is willing to be moved somewhere where he would not be the focal point, the face of the franchise, per se.
All right, so let's say they do decide to keep him, because I think that's the most likely option, that it's DJ over Trey.
Yeah.
Who's out there? I know this is something we've even touched on before. I just don't see a big name out there that's a logical fit to come here.
Yeah, that has really been the thing that is hard to grasp of those names, because I just don't know that there are those names in free agency that really grab your attention of wanting to come here. So that's when you start looking into the trade options of who can be brought in. We all in Atlanta, a lot of people were big on, you know, adding Pascal Siakam when he was available. And now you're seeing that he is being more the focal point for that Pacers team. I don't have a great answer yet for as far as options to bring in to make this team better. I feel like it is just more of, I've spent more of my time just looking at the pieces that I don't think are working on this team. I think there are a few of them that we tried to talk ourselves into, and they have had really positive moments. But Chris, a guy that, you know, you and I have talked a lot about over the years and the ups and downs of his career has been DeAndre Hunter. And I think it was very interesting the fact that he was not there for exit interviews. He is a guy who is not, his contract's not up. Like, he is very much under contract with the Hawks. And so sometimes you'll see guys who are going to be free agents skip out on that. Or, you know, Sadiq Bey, who's dealing with an injury. But a guy like that, and the way that his season ended, and just the kind of the ups and downs that his career has particularly taken, I feel like he is a guy, along with a guy like DeJounte Murray, who just in the long run aren't fitting with this team, and I think would probably be okay being dealt elsewhere. Now, they're going to say in the media all the right things, some of the time, I should say. I think DeJounte talking about the game plan issues that they had against Chicago was very interesting when he was having a very honest moment. Then we spoke to him at exit interviews, and all of a sudden he was, oh, I love Quinn Snyder and, you know, yada, yada, and that sort of thing. But I feel like there are particular players who just don't fit into what I think needs to be a different direction for this Hawks team to take. And so, you know, what can they get on the flip side of that? I don't think it's necessarily going to be flashy names. And I think that is part of what concerns me with Trey, is his want to bring in a big piece. I don't know that it is necessarily there right now. And is he willing to wait on that? I am with you that I think Trey sticks around, but they've got to make changes. We spent, you know, last offseason talking about the changes that need to be made, and spent the entire season talking about what wasn't working and what was working, what they can force to work. But ultimately, just some form of change has got to happen. Because I don't think the fan base can stand for rolling out the same pieces again next year.
Talking with our buddy Caleb Johnson, Hawks reporter, 92.9 The Game, putting a bow on another disappointing season for the Atlanta Hawks. All right, how would you rate what Quinn Snyder's been able to do or not do after getting his first full season under the helm? I know injuries aside, but what do you think about the job that he's done?
Yeah, I think the criticism of him has been a bit unfair. I think he is a guy who is big on, he's got this intricate philosophy that he likes to run with his defenses. What has been very apparent has been who is good at playing defense and who is not. And unfortunately, the Hawks have quite a lengthy roster of guys who are not solid defenders. And I don't know how much coaching can necessarily fix that. Because when we were all talking about Quinn Snyder being brought in, I was one of the people standing on the rooftop saying, if Quinn Snyder can't fix this team defensively, then I don't think it can be fixed, because for the most part, the same pieces have been brought back that Nate McMillan was dealing with. And it felt like in Nate's situation that the team had just kind of tuned him out, and, you know, didn't want to do what he was setting up. Quinn comes in, and what do you immediately hear? All of these guys talking about how smart he is and that they're willing to listen to him because of those things. Then we watched the season unfold, and there were times when I think Quinn would kind of let it leak out a little bit here and there, but he tried to save face a lot of the times, in that the defensive principles and strategies that he was trying to set up, the team just wasn't doing. Whether it was mental breakdowns or whether it was a situation like Chicago, where you clearly had players who did not agree with the game plan. I mean, DeJounte made it as clear as possible in saying they told us, you know, it wasn't a we mentality. It was a they, and then, you know, we're the players, and so we just do what we're told kind of thing. And so I think Quinn has shown in his previous stops that he is good at building some really strong defensive teams. However, who was a part of those teams? Some really strong defenders. You think of a guy like Rudy Gobert, who has continued that on with Minnesota. And so I think that what Quinn is setting up here is working. You think of like the development pieces, the Vic Krejcis, the Garrison Matthews, and those likes, and who he has kind of focused his attention on, those role players have developed. But I think the bigger pieces, you know, that is where this team has got to improve the roster so he can do something with it. Because if he's got guys who just aren't solid defenders, I don't think he can make them into something that they're not.
Caleb, before I let you go, Falcons draft tomorrow. I know you're going to be watching and listening right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Who do you think they take?
I'm going to give you one thing that I've been listening specifically to Dukes and Bell this week, and obviously a lot of the conversations that I've heard you fighting with those guys. Look, I think the only thing that the Falcons can do tomorrow that I would lose my mind over and think is a colossal mistake is going quarterback at number 8. I think anything else that they do, I will be able to talk myself into it being a good idea. I still am hung up on Dallas Turner, although, you know, the kid out of UCLA, the more that I've heard about him and the more that I've watched him and just, like, seen his overall personality, I think the guy's a really talented player.
Did you say Latu?
Yes. I know you're not the biggest fan, but I think going defense is just the best decision there. And anything else is, you know, it's adding to a very interesting draft history that we've already seen from this front office that I am not the biggest fan of, but I can be convinced otherwise. I really think the only way they can mess this thing up tomorrow is going quarterback at 8.
All right, Caleb, appreciate it as always, and appreciate all the hits we did over the season. Hopefully this time next year we're talking about playoff matchups instead of, rebuilding the entire roster. That'd be nice.
Hopefully so.
All right, Caleb, appreciate it as always. All right, when we get back, Oren's got a producer six-pack for me. I know there'll be a couple of draft questions in there, and I'm doing something for the first time in my life. I'll explain exactly what that is, and I may need your help to get me through it. 404-726-0929. Back with you in 5, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Braves up 3-1 now. Marcelo Zuna does it again. Another RBI base hit in the bottom of the 5th. Keep you updated on that. Coming up at the top of the hour, you will hear a portion of the conversation from Andy and Randy with Greg Cosell, one of the absolute best to ever do it. And then Oren and I will give you our thoughts about what he has to say about tomorrow's upcoming draft. Now, before we get to the producer six-pack, and by the way, thanks to our buddy Caleb Johnson for jumping on the program. Oren, I'm doing something I've never done before. And that is, and I'll preface it by saying this. If you follow me on the good old cesspool of Twitter at C Thomas Radio.
The social medias.
Yes, the social medias. You
will
give
Chris a follow.
Yeah, you too at Oren Romain.
Oren Romain. C Thomas Simple. Radio and Oren Romain. Yeah. Give us both a follow tonight. How about that?
Yeah, how about that? So I'm doing something I've never done before, which is I'm going to go 30 days without drinking. And it's not that I've never tried and failed. It's not that I've, you know, wanted to and just haven't been able to. It's just I have never done it before. And I'm going to make a concerted effort now. And why now? Because we are 30 days away from Memorial Day weekend.
Okay.
And I am going out to Canton to spend a lovely weekend with Todd Devine and his family.
Yeah.
If you've listened to me before, you know that's my home away from home family here in Georgia. And I want to feel damn good, Oren. I've been doing this lifestyle change thing slowly but surely. I'm not doing any fad diets or anything like that. That's why I haven't had dramatic weight loss yet. But
you're doing it your way, though.
Yeah, I'm doing it. I'm down 20 pounds. And I'm feeling good, doing it, doing the damn thing. And I want a little boost from now until Memorial Day. So I'm going to do 30 days of no alcohol. Oren, have you ever done that? And do you think I can do it?
Yes, I have. I'm not the biggest drinker right now. So 30 days for me sometimes might just be a busy work week, like a busy work month for me, I guess.
Huh, okay.
Or just things going on, busy and stuff like that. It's easier than you would think. The times for me where if I was giving it up and if there was a challenge point, it would be like a weekend night where it's like I could have a beer right now. Like there's nothing to matter with me having just a beer right now.
Right. Well, the good thing for me is I'm an all or nothing drinker. So I don't even do that to begin with. So that's not gonna, like when we go to a Dukes and Bell remote and, you know, we have listeners that we appreciate you guys and gals coming out that want to buy us like a beer. But if I'm going to drink one beer, I'm not going to drink any. So that's not going to be the difficult thing. The difficult thing is going to be, like you said, on a Saturday night, you know, going to a concert or going just doing whatever with friends or whatever, even just hanging out by myself and, you know, the temptation's there.
The social aspect of it sometimes is tough to overcome. That's what I found but it's once you get in the groove and you go a couple weeks or so with it, then it just becomes like, oh, yeah, I'm not doing this. You know, it's just,
yeah,
it becomes like secondhand, so to speak.
I'm looking forward to it because, again, I've never done this before, so I feel like my body's going to get a really nice, like, reset and cleanse. And I'm doing, like, if you follow me on Twitter, I've been posting periodic updates about this, and I've been posting about how I'm getting really into ingredients. And I feel like it's ingredients over everything. If you want to live a healthy lifestyle and you want to lose a significant amount of weight, read the ingredients of everything you're eating. And I've been doing that. Like, I just had my dinner, and it was a keto, low-carb wrap with organic turkey and my favorite combination of brown mustard and hot sauce, which we talked about on the show.
There you go. Absolutely. your sauce combo right there, yes.
And I got a Greek yogurt if I need it, which I try not to eat past 8 o'clock, but it's tough when you're doing the shows like this. So, again, yeah, if you've ever done it, something like that, hit me up at 404-726-0929 on the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. How was your alcohol cleanse, and what were some of the things you did in social settings? Or hit me up on Twitter at C Thomas Radio. All right, we'll see if I can get through this producer six pack first.
Six questions, six chances to produce greatness. It's time for the producer six pack on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
All righty, sir. We will start with the NFL draft.
By the way, isn't there such irony in the first thing that plays after I make this big pronouncement about not drinking?
Bottle popping?
Is a producer six pack.
Yeah, doing, there so. You go.
All right, you got to love it. All right, Big O.
Question number one. As it stands right now, the Falcons will have day one and day two. They will have three picks. Excuse me. Oh, no, four picks.
Yeah, one first, one second, two third. Yeah.
Will that number stay at four, or will it go up, or will it go down?
I think it will. You know what? I'm going to go with my heart over my head on this one, because my heart wants me to say it's going to stay because they're not going to trade down. So I'm going to say it stays the same, because my head's telling me, though, Oren, that they're going to trade back.
Yeah.
And I really don't want them to, but I think that's what they're going to do. But what I want them to do is just nip it in the bud, take Dallas Turner at 8, and be done with it. So
it
I'm going to say
like trading back is becoming just it's the so more and more. Yeah.
It's in vogue. Again, over the weekend on Saturday, I took a pulse, and we had everybody draft as Terry Fontenot. We had a really, really fun show.
That's what the consensus was, yes.
Yeah, it was 7 callers overwhelmingly took
move
trade
on
back.
Back. Move on back. Question number 2. There are expected to be, what, 4 quarterbacks picked in the top 10? There might be 6 in the first round altogether.
Yeah.
I just want 2 names here, sir. 2 names. Of all the quarterbacks that are projected to go in the first round or might be projected to go in the first round, which QB will be picked earlier than expected, and which QB is going to slide a little bit?
That's a good question. I think J.J. McCarthy is going to slide a little bit. I think there's been way too much hype about him. He's turned into the second coming. Let me say this emphatically, for no reason. What has he done on tape, man? Like, he hasn't done anything. So I
think with him, though, it's not so much of what he's done on tape as what he hasn't not done, I guess.
That's a good way to put it.
There's no bad film of him for folks to go like, oh, he can't do that or can't do that. It's just not a lot of film of him doing a lot of things, period.
I think he had 22 touchdowns. And Michael Penix, for instance, I think had 36.
Yeah.
And Bo Nix had like 40. So, And then in terms of going up, I'm going to say somebody takes a flyer. The name I keep hearing is Spencer Rattler. Maybe he goes in like the 3rd round.
Spencer is a guy who, you know, started off well at Oklahoma, then Caleb came and took his job, and then Spencer ends up at South Carolina. Not a bad skill set. It's just, I think the same thing, too. You still don't know exactly what Spencer is, but there are a lot of good qualities and good traits that he has that can translate to something being developmental.
I know when he was younger, he was a bit of a diva.
Yes, he was. He was one of those, I don't want to give all Elite 11 kids a bad rap, but he was a kid who started early in his career in high school, and
he's a never told no guy.
There you go. That's exactly right.
That's unfortunate for a lot of young quarterbacks as they develop.
This is a fun question. A very fun question.
I'll be the judge of that.
Who's going to have more hits at season's end? Travis d'Arnaud or Jarrett Kelenic?
Did you put an E in there?
I did.
Travis d'Arnaud.
Travis d'Arnaud.
Jarrett Kelenic.
I went fancy with it.
Okay. I'm going to say Jarrett Kelenic just because he's going to play more. Once Sean Murphy comes back, Lil D's going to transition back into getting more time off. And unfortunately or fortunately for Braves fans, don't come at me, or do, because I'll fight you on it at C. Thomas Radio, because he has 0 home runs and 3 RBIs.
Still no home runs yet, man.
Yeah. So for all the hype, the great white hope, not so much yet. I'm going to say he has more, though.
Okay. Question number 4. More likely to get swept in the NBA playoffs, one of these 3 teams: Suns, Lakers, Sixers.
Okay, can I ask you a question first?
What's up?
What the hell is happening to the Phoenix Suns?
It's a combination of, outside of Durant and Bradley Beal and Devin Booker, there's nobody else on that team that can score. And you would think that those 3 guys can be enough, but
what about Grayson Allen? He just got a bag.
Well, Grayson's got the hurt ankle right now, so Grayson's not contributing a whole lot. But if one or two of those guys has an off night, there's not slack being picked up. And those guys, they literally have to score between those 3 like 70, 80 points a game. Like, you have to get that amount of points from those 3 in order for Phoenix to be like a force or somewhat of a reputable offense. But Durant right now, nothing's happening with him offensively. Booker right now, not looking good offensively. Bradley Beal.
Ant-Man's taking him to school. Huh?
Ant-Man is just, he's in all of their heads right now. So it's just, it's, you have, and that was always the problem with Phoenix, even they had Chris Paul a couple years ago. It was, hey, you know, they, of all the big superstar laden teams, their team was way more top heavy than everybody else's. And it just, the back half just, for some odd reason, well, they're not very good, but it just can't catch up with the front half. And then when the front half isn't doing what it needs to do, the balance is absolutely out of whack. So
I think the only competition is from the Lakers, because I think game two was their game to win. So the fact that they didn't win it might be them. But you know what? I'm going to say what I've seen from the Suns is just unimaginable, and I'm going to go with them, as crazy as that is to say. Lakers find a way to get one.
I think so, too. And the reason I just mentioned, too, like it just, it's going to take – there are too many this has to happen and this has to happen and this has to happen for the Suns to win a ball game. And the thises that have to happen are pretty sizable, too. For the Lakers, they can get by, I think, because they're not the worst team defensively, and they can cut down on silly turnovers, like D'Angelo Russell throwing a ball out of bounds late to Anthony Davis in that ball game.
He's a fascinating player.
He's boom or bust, man.
Yeah, he's equal parts Kyrie Irving when he's on a good night, and then like shades of, I don't know. Who is the big man used to wear a headband all the time? JaVale McGee.
Yeah, JaVale, still in the league, yeah.
He's still in the league?
He's still in the league, yeah. Oh. He's on, I forgot what team he's on. He might be on Denver.
We're playing that game right now that they always
play. Who
he
play for.
Yeah. On a
who he play for. But JaVale, I saw him on the bench in these playoffs with somebody. Oh, I think he's with Minnesota.
JaVale McGee is on the Sacramento Kings.
Okay, I was wrong for two times there. He was on a team in the playoffs, though, yes. That was someone in the playoffs. But yeah,
and that was who he played for.
I feel very Charles Barkley like right now. By the way, they had a great moment last night. I guess Kendrick Perkins said some things about the inside the NBA crew.
Yes, I saw this,
because they think that the Sixers can win a ball game, or they can that series is not as out for the Knicks as for the Sixers as people think it is. And Kendrick told them that they don't watch New York Knicks basketball. So last night they set up like an obstacle course in the studio, and one of those giant like standing punching bags, they put Kendrick's face on it, and Charles and Shaq took turns with boxing gloves just smacking the mess out of it.
Now that would be a hell of a podcast, those three in a room together.
Oh my gosh, yes.
I would love to see that.
All right.
Long roundabout way of saying, yes, I think it will be Phoenix.
Okay. All right. This week we had the official trailer was released for a movie I'm highly anticipating, Deadpool and Wolverine. Great combination, unlikely combination, but it's going to be funny. It's going to be gory. It's going to be a little, not a little, very much adult, but the trailer for the movie looks great. So it leads me to this question right here. These last two questions. Deadpool and Wolverine are a bit of an unlikely duo. I know Friday we did sauces, like your sauce and food combination.
Right.
Is there a food-on-food combination for you, sir, that is very, very unusual, very unlikely?
Ooh, while I think about it, let me just say this. As happy as I am to experience it, and I will in theaters, I thought Logan was the perfect ending.
So with the multiverse now being introduced, like that's the way they can keep these characters alive. So it's in whatever universe Logan was in, he's dead, he's gone, that's it. But now we got Wolverine from
X-Men 97.
Yeah, and that's another universe where they're gonna pull from a storyline, I believe, called Old Man Logan, where if you don't want a spoiler here, guys, go ahead and cover your ears. Logan basically kills off all the X-Men.
Oh, yeah. Didn't know that. Okay.
So there's a storyline that revolves around that, and I think that's where this universe's Wolverine's being plucked from.
Yeah, let me think about that. I don't know if there is necessarily a food combo that, like, jumps out at me right away. I will say my favorite meal, though, is penne alla vodka with grilled chicken and garlic bread.
Okay.
So I know that's not a weird combination, but I dunk that garlic bread in that pink sauce like it's nobody's business.
Mine I have, and I thought about this, and it's – I don't feel it to be very controversial. Macaroni and cheese is perfectly acceptable on sandwiches. Like hamburgers, chicken sandwiches, pulled pork sandwiches.
I don't hate that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to eat it on the side. It's like a condiment. Anyway, yeah, I'm going to eat it on the side. Oh, how about buffalo mac and cheese? I love buffalo mac and cheese.
There you go. Just throw it on top of whatever you're eating, and it becomes a second condiment, so to speak.
And then you put a little blue cheese on there?
There you go.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Great job on the six pack, man. You know, I'm really conflicted over this Logan movie because Logan was such a perfect ending, and like now you're getting Deadpool and Wolverine. And then I read an article, Orin, did you see this, that Robert Downey Jr. is like potentially talks to come back
as Iron Man.
Come on, man.
The multiverse for you. They pull from nobody in the multiverse, sir. Nobody ever really dies.
Which kind of puts a damper on the 10 years I invested going to the movies to see all these Marvel flicks, man.
Iron Man had, in Endgame, he had the perfect ending. That was the perfect way to go out.
Yeah, for all those characters. All right. Great job, Orin. When we get back, let's hear a little clip from Greg Cosell, best in the business at draft analysis and NFL analysis as well. He joined Andy and Randy. We'll let you hear that. Then Orin and I will react to what he had to say. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.